Ode to Gravity. As the 20th century draws to a close, the name of John Cage emerges not only as the most influential new music composer worldwide that the United States ever has produced, but as the composer who has changed altogether the way we define music and experience our world in sound. I'm Charles Amerkanyan, and I invite you to listen with me for 2 hours to the words and music of one of the most charismatic and provocative artists of our time, John Cage.
Thank you.
double music for percussion quartet, composed jointly by John Cage and Lou Harrison, was performed by the Manhattan Percussion Ensemble under Cage's direction. Among the instruments were gongs, water buffalo bells, and automobile brake drums. The music was written in San Francisco and premiered at the California Club Auditorium on May 14, 1941, by an ensemble consisting of Xenia Cage, Doris Dennison, Lou Harrison, and Margaret Jansen, conducted by John Cage. I'm Charles Amerikanian from Pacifica Radio KPFA in Berkeley, and on this edition of Ode to Gravity, you'll hear both recent and older music by John Cage, along with interviews and a talk by the composer recorded between 1969 and 1987. Born September 5, 1912, in Los Angeles, John Cage studied composition with Henry Cowell and Arnold Schoenberg, two inveterate experimenters coming from opposite ends of the earth, Cowell from California and Schoenberg from Vienna. Whereas Cowell taught Cage to expand his musical resources from every point of view, new instruments, rhythms, timbres, world music influences, Schoenberg taught Cage to adopt systems of organization for manipulating these new resources. Cage's original contribution has been to introduce a system of composing using strict chance operations rather than one's own taste. This emerged from his studies of Zen Buddhism and his desire to imitate nature's way of forming patterns and composing its own elements in space. His composition, called 4 Minutes and 33 Seconds, requires a pianist to sit at a keyboard for that length of time without making any intentional sound. The audience is left to contemplate passing cars, shifting bodies in chairs, and other sounds which we normally don't pay attention to. Cage encourages people to listen consciously to the environment in the same way we pay attention to traditional music. And for this attitude alone, Cage distinguishes himself from others. His call to freedom truly has opened the world of music to many younger followers who compose under his influence. The composition Rio Anji on this program will demonstrate the results of Cage's aleatoric or chance system. In 1983, the San Francisco Symphony's New and Unusual Music Series, directed by composer-in-residence John Adams, hosted an all-Cage evening at Davies Symphony Hall. The program included the curious and very striking composition of Cage's from 1942, entitled Credo in Us. In this satirical piece, phonograph recordings of the classics face off against shattering flurries from Cage's then-current obsession, the percussion ensemble. Before a rehearsal of this piece began, I stood on stage in the 3,000-seat hall, which was completely empty of performers and audience, and spoke with Mr. Cage. Seeing all these wonderful instruments on stage is a great feeling of anticipation, because it's such a formal concert hall, this big symphony hall. And I remember reading about your beginnings in percussion music, and the halls were a little more modest in those days.
Right, I think it was a women's club here in San Francisco where Lou Harrison and I gave a program of percussion music.
John, could you say anything about this idea of percussion music and how it got to you and to Lou Harrison and others? And then a bit about its connection with your ideas in the book Silence, and its intermingling with the ideas of Zen, because it seems to me that as a percussion composer, and then somebody interested in Zen, that something magic happened after those two things came together. In other words, you were freeing sounds in a way when you looked to these unusual instruments in the first place.
Actually, I met through Galka Scheier, who brought the Blue Four from Germany to Los Angeles. I met a filmmaker whose name was Oscar Fischinger, and he made abstract films to go with pieces of music, and he used the Hungarian dances of Brahms. And it was Galka Scheier's idea that I could write some music to go with his films. He said something to me that made a very deep impression. He said, everything in the world has a spirit, and it can be released by setting it into vibration. And then when you hear the sound, you know the spirit. And I immediately began touching things, scratching them, hitting them, exploring the environment in terms of bringing it out the spirit of the environment.
When was this?
That was in 35. And then it was between 36 and 39 that I was in, sometimes here in the Bay Area in the summers, through Mills College with Lou Harrison. But mostly during the year I was up in Seattle at the Carnegie School. It was later that the connection with Zen came about through shifting from the notion of music as communication to music as a means of sobering and quieting the mind, thus subjecting it to divine influences. And it became clear that the divine influences were the whatever came to us through our sense perceptions. That's still happening with me. I notice just this year, Charles, I begin to notice with gratitude the drones of 20th century interior environment. I've always liked, I began to like the traffic, you know, outside, but now I'm actually beginning to enjoy the hums and the constant sounds. And you know what they do? They act like sculpture, or like a definition of the space. They make they give me a different feeling about being in a house. I mean to say, for instance, where I live, the refrigerator, the humidifier, and then if outdoors comes a burglar alarm, I get a sense of space that is very enlivening.
And this blind people have always had, I'm sure.
Yes.
I mean, that's how they define their space.
it's an amazing experience for me.
The percussion part of the program is interesting to me because of this wonderful piece, Credo in Us, which involves your use of pre-recorded materials. Did you start this piece with the idea of involving radio or recordings?
Both.
How was it done? Where was it done?
It was done in New York City for a dance, which was choreographed by Merce Cunningham, and he made it with Gene Erdman. And it's a kind of satire on America.
So the US is US?
And it's also you and me.
And what is the credo?
It means we believe in that, in all that.
What about the dance? What was the imagery in the dance? Was it very abstract, or?
Well, I was always busy playing the music, so I have no way of knowing. But there are many holds in the music, and in those holds there were words in a text that Merce Cunningham had written.
And he sounded them as he danced?
No, that may be. Or they may have stopped and talked to one another.
So the irony is also the romantic classical music bursting out of the speakers,
right,
and so
right.
forth. And that was Americans' idea of culture.
And the cowboy solo and the jazz solo and so forth.
Credo in Us by John Cage, composed in 1942, is performed now by the ensemble Musica Negativa, conducted by Rainer Rien.
Thank you. clouds in the streets.
Set the house
on. Oh, really?
Yes.
Will he come, sir?
Between 2 and 3 o'clock. Well, then let's join them, crowd.
It is best for us not to be here.
Mother?
Not afraid, but...
A cockade. A cockade, sir, for the call. Feathers. There. Thank you. But why are you sitting here? Why are you not gone to St. George's Field?
I prefer to wait in Westminster, my lord.
Thank you.
That was music by John Cage. The piece, composed in the year 1942, is called Credo in Us. The performance was by the ensemble Musica Negativa, conducted by Rainer Rien. Johann Nikolaus Mattes, phonograph and radio, Michael Dietz and Burkhard Wiesemann, percussion, and Christoph Keller, piano, recorded the piece for the German EMI four-record set called Music Before Revolution. The late Australian-American composer Percy Grainger long dreamt of a free music, he called it, in which all pitches constantly would be sliding up and down against one another. In the mid-30s, he used the early experimental instrument called the theremin to produce quartets and sextets of this sort, all rather short in duration. Now, John Cage has written a series of solo pieces for flute or double bass or trombone or voice called Rio Anji, in which all sounds are glissandi, or slides, against which a percussionist must strike four objects together with intense concentration so as to make each sound of these four objects a single ictus, or point in time. These four objects, played here by Michael Pugliese, are a rock, a pod rattle, a small log, and a drum. Mezzo-soprano Isabel Gantz, who premiered this work with Mr. Pugliese in March of 1984 at Cooper Union in New York City, performs the nine songs, based on letteristic haikus containing 17 letters, one each from the 17 chapters of Finnegan's Wake by James Joyce, all selected, of course, by chance operations. The title of the piece, Rio Anji, is taken from the famous garden of raked sand and 15 rocks in Kyoto, and Cage created the score by placing 15 actual rocks on paper in positions specified by chance operations and drawing pencil outlines around each rock. The musician must sing these lines in reference to a grid pattern on the paper, while the percussionist's steady pulse represents the uniformity of perfectly raked sand.
Thank you.
That very meditative composition is Rio Anji by John Cage. The mezzo-soprano was Isabel Gantz and the percussionist Michael Pugliese. The recording was made by Mode Records as part of a two-record set featuring also Etudes Borealis for cello and piano by Mr. Cage. It's available from Mode Records, Box 375, Kew Gardens, New York, 11415. Once again, that's Mode Records, Box 375, Kew Gardens, K-E-W Gardens, New York, 11415. This is the first of a continuing series of composer-supervised recordings planned by the company of Cage's work. The second is a four-record set of Atlas Eclipticalis for chamber orchestra with winter music for three pianos, played simultaneously. Well, we've heard the influence of Zen Buddhism in Cage's music and observed his use of chance operations. As of the present, May 1987, Mr. Cage is preparing his first opera, and it will be premiered in Frankfurt, West Germany, on November 15th, just after his 75th birthday. The amusing use of chance operations in the preparation and performance of this opera will be the subject of the second half of our two-hour presentation of music by John Cage. Also, a reading from the composer's diary, How to Improve the World, You Will Only Make Matters Worse, recorded in 1969. This is Charles Amerikanian, and the program is Ode to Gravity.